ask questions about or report on information in the Pentagon unless they sign a statement that they will have it pre-approved?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like a reporter who is reporting only the things that the Pentagon wants them to report is doing something other than reporting, right? That's not what journalism is supposed to be. And I don't think that journalists can, you know, agree to this and continue to do their jobs. You can't report only the things that the Defense Department approves.
So on the issue of the divide right now in the country around free speech, it's been interesting. I said conservative mm-hmm. pundits were saying, but there are also so-called broadcasters and conservative mm-hmm. pundits and politicians who are actually raising a lot of concern,
yeah.
particularly afraid that if Democrats gain power, this will happen to them. For mm-hmm. example, you have the Texas Senator, Ted mm-hmm. Cruz, who harshly criticized the FCC Chair Brendan Carr, accusing him of mafia-like tactics, saying his threat to retaliate against media companies for speech on their airwaves is dangerous as hell, comparing it to Goodfellas. He said this is mm-hmm. right out of Goodfellas.
Yeah, yeah. He's right. And I think he's also justified in worrying about what will happen when other people have this, you know, have this power. You know, that is one of the reasons that people who might not otherwise be committed to principle end up committed to principle, because they just know that whatever power this president is given might be used and abused by another president in the future in different, you know, in different ways. And we've seen that over and over again over the course of our, you know, over the course of our history. And Ted Cruz isn't the only one who I saw that Ben Shapiro also made a similar observation, you know, and I'm sure that, you know, both of them are coming at these issues from a very different place than I am. But, you know, I think that they're right to be worried about the erosion of a principle that protects everybody.
I wanted to also ask you about the law that Governor Newsom, the California governor, just signed into law mm-hmm. called the Secret Police Law. Mm-hmm. And this is the first law in the country to ban most law enforcement officers, including federal immigration agents, from covering their faces while conducting official business under a bill that was signed yeah. on Saturday. You have now Trisha McLaughlin, the spokesperson for the Department of Homeland Security, saying it's supporting terrorists. Mm-hmm. You have the statement that the U.S. attorney should has made that says you don't have to follow this law. Mm-hmm. What does this mean?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't studied the law, but I do think that ICE agents wearing masks is an invitation to abuse and impunity. And it's very important that officers who are wielding the power of the state are identifiable to the rest of us. Like, we need to know who they are in order to be able to hold them accountable. And because you can hold them accountable, if you know who they are, abuse is less likely. And, you know, I think that is why for most of modern history, we have not had government agents walking around the United States wearing masks. We've required them to show their faces, to have ID badges that show their numbers, you know, in part to deter abuse and in part to ensure that we can hold people accountable if they do engage in abuse. I would also just ask, like, if we accept this, if we accept ICE agents wearing masks on the theory that they could be retaliated against if they show their identities, it's not obvious to me why we would stop with ICE agents. Like, you know, soon we will have judges in masks too, and government lawyers in masks. And I don't think that, you know, any of that is consistent with democratic values.
Finally, can you comment on the judge dismissing the lawsuit against the New York Times, Trump's lawsuit against yeah. the New York Times? Very interesting. Yeah. He just sued Murdoch. Mm-hmm. At the same time, he's working a deal with him with TikTok and China. Mm-hmm. But the significance of the judge saying the complaint of President Trump failed to contain a short and plain statement of the claim. Of course, Trump can appeal this decision. What yeah. about why he sued the New York Times?
Well, I mean, I think that it is an extremely feeble complaint. It's a complaint about totally legitimate journalism that the New York Times has done about President Trump. And this is just an effort to intimidate the Times and intimidate other media organizations. And
suing him for $15 billion.
I mean, it's an absurd,
you know,
it's an absurd lawsuit. But I think that, you know, the risk is that it will chill not so much the New York Times, but it'll chill other media that don't have the resources of the Times from aggressively reporting about the president and his allies.
Jumail Jaffer, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks,
director
Amy.
Of the Knight First Amendment Institute at Columbia University, previously deputy legal director at the ACLU. When we come back, in a historic move, Britain, Canada, Australia, Portugal recognize a Palestinian state. We'll speak to the British Member of Parliament, Jeremy Corbyn, former Labour leader in Britain, about this decision. Then we'll go to the Israeli peace activist Yonatan Zeigen, who lost his mother, Vivian Silver, in the Hamas attack October 2023, one of thousands of Israelis who have called for the recognition of a Palestinian state. And in Ramallah, we'll talk to Dr. Mustafa Barghouti, General Secretary of the Palestinian National Initiative. Back in 20 seconds.
There is power in a factory. Power in the lands, power in the hand of the worker. But it all amounts to nothing if together we don't stand. There is power in a union. Now the lessons of the past were all learned with workers' blood. The mistakes of the bosses we must pay for. The cities and the farmlands to trenches full of mud. War has always been the boss's way, sir. The union forever defending our rights. Down with the blackleg all workers.
There's power in a union. Billy Bragg performing in our Democracy Now! Studio. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. In a historic move, Britain, Canada, Australia, and Portugal have formally declared their recognition of a Palestinian state Sunday, ahead of the United Nations General Assembly here in New York. This is British Prime Minister Keir Starmer and Australia's Prime Minister Albanese, beginning with Starmer.
I state clearly, as Prime Minister of this great country, that the United Kingdom formally recognizes the state of Palestine.
Effective today, Sunday, the 21st of September 2025, the Commonwealth of Australia recognizes the state of Palestine.
France and at least five other countries are expected to also recognize Palestine starting today, joining more than 140 countries who now recognize a Palestinian state. Hussam Zonlot, the Palestinian ambassador to the United Kingdom, spoke on Sunday.
We realize that the recognition itself will not stop the wheels of colonization and theft of land and oppression of our people. But the question is never, why should the UK and the rest of the world recognize the state of Palestine? The question is, why the UK has not recognized the state of Palestine until now? And the answer is where we are today. Because of the lack of this recognition, because of the lack of this foundational step, things have been left to fester all the way to genocide being committed in full view of the world.
Several members of the Israeli government responded to the developments by calling for Israel to annex the occupied West Bank. For more, we're joined by three guests. We begin with Jeremy Corbyn, member of the British Parliament, served as Labour Party leader from 2015 to 2020, recently hosted a Gaza tribunal that accuses the UK of complicity in Gaza genocide. Welcome back to Democracy Now! It's great to have you with us. Thank you for joining us from London. Jeremy Corbyn, can you start off by responding to this historic recognition and what more you'd like to see?
I've just come from an event held outside the Palestine Mission in London, which we now must refer to as the Palestine Embassy, and I'm delighted to be able to do that. And unfortunately, I wasn't able to get back to my office, so I'm doing this from a park, hence all the noise in the background. Yes, it is a huge step forward that Britain, after years and years of campaigning and pressure, has finally recognized Palestine and joined the 140 other nations that have done so. But, and this is a huge but, what are we recognizing? A people under occupation, a genocide that's happening in real time in Gaza, and in the case of Britain, a country that maintains strong economic ties to Israel, continues security cooperation, supplying parts for F-35 jets, and allowing RAF bases to be used by Israeli planes as well as RAF planes. But what it does do is gives us the chance and the opportunity in Britain to put renewed demands and political pressure on the British government to end all the arms supplies and impose real economic sanctions against Israel. And in response to this, we're now organising the biggest ever demonstration in support of Palestine on October the 11th in London, because people are just so angry, unbelievably angry, when they see the images of children being starved to death, doctors crying because they cannot perform operations properly because they've got no antiseptic, anaesthetic equipment or anything else. And our Gaza Tribunal, which the Peace and Justice Project held for 2 days, 10 days ago, was devastating in the evidence that we collected of the legal action and of the way in which the Israeli bombing of Gaza is actually planned all around building of the Riviera, which Trump has been dreaming about. And so this is an opportunity to renew our political solidarity. It also actually further isolates the United States in global opinion, because the United States is the only real big country that still supports Israel. And so I think the pressure must be on, and my sympathies and solidarity to all the Palestinian campaigners all across the USA. You can do it, and we're with you, and we'll support you in any way we can to help force the administration change its policy.
Jeremy Corbyn, the UK is recognizing a Palestinian state based on the 1967 borders, which includes the occupied West Bank and Gaza Strip. How does this recognition impact the legal standing of Israeli settlements in the West Bank?
I think it damages the pretense that the settlements in the West Bank have some kind of legal status in Israeli law. These settlements are actually a form of occupation. They are part of the Greater Israel Plan. What they are is a sort of advance guard for the complete occupation of the entire West Bank. And so they've obviously got to stop and got to go. And I think it makes their position in international law less and less tenable, because Israel will claim it's the occupying power. But the occupying power is bound by the Geneva Convention, the Fourth Geneva Convention, on what they can and cannot do. And Israel is doing everything it cannot do in law. And so international law has been found against Israel on many, many occasions. But unless the rest of the world does something about it, like making sure aid gets in, like making sure the flotilla gets there, like making sure the arms no longer flow, then international law will be brought increasingly into disrepute as a result of this.
Jeremy Corbyn, we have this late-breaking news that has just come in. The Egyptian President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi issued a pardon for the prominent British Palestinian blogger and activist Ala Abdel Fattah, who's been in jail since 2019. If you can comment on the significance of this moment. Brilliant. His mother has been fasting, I'm sure you know her well, in Britain, demanding Britain pressure Egypt. Talk about it.
I do know his mother very well. I've met her many times, and we've done everything we can in Parliament and elsewhere to support. This is amazing news. Again, this didn't come from nowhere. It came from international solidarity. It came from activism. So anyone watching now on Democracy Now, be aware. We might feel lonely and isolated and cold and wet and hungry when we're on the streets demonstrating. It makes a difference. And his freedom is a product of all that solidarity all around the world. This is amazing news. Congratulations to him, to his mum. And by the way, everybody, read his book.
And do you expect him to be coming to Britain soon?
Well, he has obviously a home in Britain. He's very welcome here. And I would love to welcome him to Britain. I'd love to take him to Parliament, where a whole bunch of us would like to buy him a slap-up tea to welcome him back.
Jeremy Corbyn, thank you so much for being with us at a flag-raising ceremony in what is now the Palestinian Embassy in London, as Great Britain recognizes Palestine as a state, along with Portugal and Australia and Canada. France is expected to do it as well this week, as well as a number of other countries, joining close to 150 other countries in the world that have formally recognized Palestine as a sovereign and independent state. We now go to Tel Aviv, where we're joined by Yonatan Zeigen, Israeli peace activist whose mother, Vivian Silver, a 74-year-old Canadian-Israeli peace activist, was killed in the Hamas attack October 7, 2023, on Kibbutz Be'eri. Silver had co-founded the Arab-Jewish Center for Equality, Empowerment and Cooperation and was a member of Women Wage Peace. Yonatan Zeigen is a board member of Parents Circle Families Forum, one of thousands of Israelis who've signed a petition to the UN supporting Palestinian statehood. Yonatan, welcome back to Democracy Now! Your response to this historic moment yesterday, Portugal, Britain, Australia, and Canada recognizing Palestine as a state. And talk about the Israeli position on this, from the activists to the government.
Well, I think, thank you for having me, first of all. I think that this is a belated but blessed step forward, because we need to level the field in order for us, Israelis and Palestinians, to be able to shape the only viable future for us, which is a shared future. We need to be able to look each other in eye level. And in order to do that, the Palestinians need to be elevated and to be granted basic rights and in the world, peoples are granted basic rights through the mechanism of nation states, and the Palestinians shouldn't be excluded from that. So this is the first step. Now needs to come implementation, because it can't be just a symbolic gesture. It needs to be accompanied by the rights that states have globally and the obligations. So I think this is a step forward, and it should have been done a long time ago. All the world always supported the two-state solution while only recognizing one state. So now this is a rectification of that, and it needs to be implementable on the ground. What we see reactions in Israel, in terms of activists, in terms of the peace movement, the human rights movement, I've only heard blessings and good reactions and support. And as you said, at least 9,000 people signed the petition. In the political sphere or in the mainstream of Israeli society, I hear hysteria, because this is a zero-sum game for our government. We either, the government, this government, and a lot of governments in the past, wanted to expand Israel, wanted to kill and die for exclusivity of the whole promised land. And this is a step forward, a very strong signal from the international community that that is not acceptable, that the future of Israelis and Palestinians is shared, is our ability to share the land. So they will do whatever they can to oppose this geopolitical momentum. And countries, states shouldn't back down. They should now continue to with implementation that includes incentives on the one hand for diplomatic processes, for humanitarian etiquette, and sanctions on the other, isolation, diplomatic, economical, cultural. If we continue on this murderous status quo that we created since October 7th.
The Israeli government, the foreign ministry, says recognition is nothing but a reward for jihadist Hamas. I'm going to end with this question. Your mother, Vivian Silver, and our condolences on her death almost 2 years ago, killed in the Hamas attack on her kibbutz, on Kibbutz Be'eri. And yet here, you are deeply committed to peace and a Palestinian state. Can you respond to what your government is saying?
We saw, in fact, Hamas thrived. It didn't come from nowhere. It wasn't established on October 7th. It thrived in the environment of statelessness for the Palestinians, of oppression of the Palestinians. If we want to change reality that we don't encounter monstrous resistance groups from the Palestinian society, we need to offer a sustainable life, a future, a prospect. I saw in a historical analysis in 48, when after the state of Israel was established, the militias, the armed militias that used terror to forward their missions, were dismantled. They were assimilated into the general political mechanism of the state, the new formal state of Israel. That will happen as well in Palestine. Militias thrive in statelessness, in chaos, in oppression, and they die out under the light, under formal a mechanism of obligations and rights towards other peoples.
Well, Yonatan Zagan, I want to thank you for being with us. Israeli peace activist, his mother killed October 7th, 2023 in Kibbutz Be'eri. He's board member of Parents Circle Families Forum and is one of thousands of Israelis have signed on to a petition for Palestinian statehood. This is Democracy Now! I'm Amy Goodman. We're also joined in Ramallah in the occupied West Bank by Dr. Mustafa Barghouti, Palestinian physician, activist, politician, who serves as General Secretary of the Palestinian National Initiative. The initiative said Palestinian recognition, quote, must immediately be accompanied by the imposition of sanctions on Israel to stop the war of extermination, ethnic cleansing, and starvation in the Gaza Strip. Your new essay, Mustafa, in today's New York Times is headlined, Palestinians Need More Than the Gesture of Statehood. If you can please respond first to Britain, Canada, Australia, Portugal, recognize a Palestinian state. I think on the Eiffel Tower now are the flags of Palestine and France. And what more you want to see? Oh, Palestine and Israel, Israeli flags are on the Eiffel Tower.
Well, first of all, I want to say that we welcome, of course, the recognition because it means that there is affirmation of the right of the Palestinian people to have self-determination. These recognitions negate completely the Israeli measures to kill the possibility of a Palestinian state and negate the Israeli discriminatory laws like the state-nation law, which says that the right of self-determination on the historic Palestine is restricted to Israeli Jewish people. It also denies and negates the laws that Israel has passed to prevent the establishment of an independent Palestinian state. That is all good. It's a bit late, maybe not a bit late, but actually too late. But it's not enough either. We think we are now at a stage where nothing will stop Israel. Nothing will deter Israel from continuing its genocidal war in Gaza and its bombardment of the Palestinian people there, and its collective punishment, including starvation, and its acts of ethnic cleansing, especially now in Gaza City, And also the terrorist settlers' attacks in the West Bank, nothing will deter all of that except sanctions on Israel immediately. By the way, while we talk, I just received information that the Israeli planes bombarded the main Palestinian Medical Relief Society center in the city of Gaza, destroyed it with three rockets and destroyed it completely, injuring some of the people who are working there and destroying one of the most important vital health centers in the city of Gaza. So we need sanctions. We need measures. I think the previous speaker spoke about that very clearly. And we need Israel to be restrained by these measures. One last point, which is that it is clear, as you can see now, with 10 more countries recognizing Palestine, which means 152 countries already recognize Palestine, more than 80% of the General Assembly members of the United Nations, much more than countries that recognize Israel, by the way. That puts Israel and the United States of America in very clear status of isolation because of the policies that Israel is following, and because of the unconditional support that Trump's administration is providing to it, even when it is committing such horrible war crimes.
Can you comment on Bazil Adra, the director of the Oscar-winning film No Other Land, his home again raided?
Of course, that is totally unacceptable. And that is one other form of oppression, of freedom of expression. And oppression of people's ability to express the case of Palestine. And in my opinion, what we are subjected to is much worse even than what people in South Africa have been subjected to during the apartheid system. But as I said before on your program, Amy, and I thank you for hosting me today, as I said before, the story of Palestine is becoming so similar to what happened in South Africa. People change, and then they change the parliaments in their countries, and then the parliaments change their governments. Everything you see in terms of recognition today by France, Britain, Australia, Canada, and others is happening only because of the steadfastness and resilience and resistance of the Palestinian people. Because of the heroism of ordinary Palestinian citizens who refused to leave their country and who risked everything to stay in Palestine. And it's also because of the heroism of so many people in these countries, the people of France, the people of Britain, the people of Canada, the people of Australia, and the people of the United States, by the way, who are standing up against injustice and standing up in support of Palestine.
Dr. Baghouti, I wanted to get your response in this final minute to Israel's far-right minister, Bezalel Smotrich, calling the Gaza Strip a real estate bonanza, saying a business plan is on President Trump's table. He's added, we've done the demolition phase. Now we need to build. And of course, this reinforces what President Trump has said. He says the U.S. will take over the Gaza Strip and we'll do a job with it, too. We'll own it. We have 30 seconds on what especially responsibility the U.S. has.
What you say is a reflection of things that can only be said by fascists and by fascism. What the United States must do is to stop this terrible, horrible fascist tendency. Listen to the American people. The American people are changing, and they would not let this administration continue what they are doing.
Dr. Mustafa Barghouti, I want to thank you so much for being with us. Palestinian physician, activist, politician, serves as General Secretary of the Palestinian National Initiative, speaking to us from occupied Ramallah. A very happy birthday to Jackie Sam. I am Amy Goodman. This is Democracy Now!
Hi, this is Jesse Brown, the host of Canada Land, Canada's only media criticism program. Every week I talk to some of the most interesting people in the country about some of the things that matter most. We talk about the news media, about comedy, film, music, and politics. And you can now listen on CJSF 90.1 FM every Monday at 5 p.m. Wait for it.
Thank you for listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain.